And back here on Downtown, your Monday afternoon, Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt with you. And on the telephone line from the Boston Globe and the main campus, Chad Finn joins us. Hello there, Chad.
I still get I haven't had a byline there in over 30 years, but I think it still counts.
Oh, yeah. I think, look, they would take you back in a minute, Chad, and probably give you a room in the frat house.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to find it. They moved it out of the basement of Lord Hall someplace. So back in my day, we probably had asbestos. They're probably in a fancy office now.
Where are they, Bruce? Do you know where the main campus is?
No, because everything's online now with the main campus. You go by the empty racks all the time. Breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't know if they may be where they used to be, but they may be somewhere else because I don't know. I think they can be anywhere now.
All in the mind. Hey, Wow, before we talk about what's going on in Boston sports, tip of the hat to you. Man, what a wonderful piece you did in the Sunday Globe magazine last week on Cooper Flagg. That was great.
Oh, thanks. I read a piece on the New York Times about it. They had a lot of the same information today. Yeah, very similar. And they also credited Maine with developing Jeff Turner. Do you remember that name?
I do remember the name, yes.
Yeah, I think he was born on one of the bases.
Right. He was here for 12 minutes and gone.
Yeah. He was on like the 84 Olympic team, bounced around the NBA. But we don't count him in Maine. They might in New York. But I appreciate that. That was a fun story to work on because, I have a lot of similar ties to Kelly Flagg. I was a little bit ahead of them at UMaine and, known Andy Bedard for a while. So it's really fun to catch up with the Maine basketball community.
Yeah, it was good. That's, to me, what made it so entertaining. I remember Kelly when she played, but I knew nothing about Ralph. And just to hear their voices and to see how they've raised all their boys, man, it added so much color to the story and made me want to cheer for him even more as he goes forward.
Yeah,
they're really smart and perceptive and realistic, which is crazy because their story isn't realistic. You know, kid rising up from Newport and becoming the best prospect in high school basketball. And I didn't use it in the story, but I talked to some people on background with Celtics about Cooper, and they just drool over him, just about how hard he plays and the total skill package that he has, and everything that's in the story. But especially Kelly, are very understanding of the circumstances and recognize that he needs experience with the media, but also that I don't think they put too much on him. So he's accessible and he's kind of learning himself how to handle himself, publicly, as things get bigger for him, as he goes to Duke and then the NBA pretty soon. So remarkable people. I was impressed with them before I did this story and even more so now.
Let's talk about the Red Sox. It's truck day, boy. Your colleague Shaughnessy had a great line. I wonder if it's sponsored by Dollar General.
Dollar General might be too pricey for the Red Sox, don't you think?
Oh, man.
Is our 50-cent store somewhere? But, it's frustrating. I'm on an island, but I feel like they still have a chance at maybe Montgomery or Snell, and Montgomery would be much more interesting. But every time one of our baseball beat writers checks in with the Red Sox, they say, no, that's not happening. But, if the price comes down a little bit, because I just think back to Breslow talking when he got the job about how they need a couple of things. They need right-handed power, and they really haven't added that unless you think Tyler O'Neill's going to bounce back, and still you're losing Duvall and Turner. And then two starting pitchers, or at least starting pitching. Corris had two starting pitchers, and they signed Giolito, but he had an ERA of 7 last year. I don't know if he's a solution to one of those spots. So pretty frustrating with how they've gone about everything.
And yet I find myself, maybe much like you, thinking there's still time and they're not that far away. Offensively, yeah, they could use one more bat, but otherwise I have pretty high hopes for Vaughn Grissom at second base. I think they're solid offensively. If they could get a couple more arms, why couldn't they? They're not going to win the division, but they could compete for a wild card.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I'm writing on the Sox today for tomorrow, and it's funny you mentioned Vaughn Grissom because he's kind of one of the things I'm most excited about, just see what he is. He was blocked by a really good player with the Braves. The Braves are going for it, so taking a shot on Chris Sale made some sense for them. But Grissom's a guy who's put up really nice offensive young numbers at a young age in AAA. And you know, everybody remembers, I think, when they made the trade, remembered him hitting a bomb of a home run at Fenway when he first came up 2 years ago. Fielding might be a little bit of a question with him, but he's apparently a really hard worker, so maybe that gets better. And if he blossoms, Cassius Grissom, Story at least defensively, and Devers at least offensively, that's a pretty good infield.
Yeah, and solid behind the plate with Connor Wong and then Kyle Teal waiting in the wings. So we'll see. And maybe now that Theo's here, if nothing else, he can put a bug in John Henry's ear.
Yeah, that's why where I get the Montgomery thing, too, because he's with the Cubs a little bit. You know, Breslin knows him well. He's not a strikeout pitcher, and he would probably be hurt by the Red Sox infield defense a little bit, but he's an innings-eating horse, pitched well in big moments for the Rangers, somebody who you feel like if you gave a five-year deal to, you could feel pretty good about it, and that's apparently what he's looking for. And my ears perked up for a lot of reasons when Theo took this job, but that was somewhere down the list that he has a relationship with this pitcher who still remains on the free agent market who could really help this team.
A little disappointed Theo didn't come back in wearing a gorilla suit, but that's okay.
Well, you know, we don't know. Maybe he did, but got away with it this time.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. So the Patriots have an offensive coordinator. What do you think of the Alex Van Pelt hiring?
It's really weird, all of this, seeing all these names come into the coaching staff when you're so used to just the ones Bill always kept close, the Josh McDaniels, and Bill O'Brien was back for his second term, and his son's on the defensive side of the ball. It was just not only a small coaching staff, but one who had been associated with Bill for a long time, so it tended to be the same group of people that he hired from, and now it's a lot of Packers, which ex-Packer coaches, which indicates to me that Elliot Wolf is running everything rather than Matt Groh, because Elliot Wolf has a lot of ties back to Green Bay. But we'll see. I think Alex Van Pelt's experience is a good thing as the offensive coordinator, because the young staff, Mayo's only 37 as the head coach and a defensive mind at that. So I like having somebody as the offensive coordinator who's coached a lot of different types of offenses, different quarterbacks, and probably has a lot of ways to help out Mayo with the offensive side.
So which direction do you think they go in the draft? Do they try and snag somebody like a Marvin Harrison Jr. and figure they can pick up a veteran quarterback who can get the job done in a trade?
I hope they draft a quarterback. My hope is that Jaden Daniels elevates to 2, which is where Mel Kiper has him, and that they end up with Drake May at 3, because he's the one I've seen the most, and just really impressive in a lot of ways, super competitive, great arm. A little bit too daring, you got to get that out of him, but by all accounts right now, that this is a really deep quarterback group. It's not considered that way next year, and when I see reports that they're thinking about, oh, maybe Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, you can't do that.
No.
You got to take a shot at the franchise quarterback while you have the number 3 pick in the draft. You can't punt that down the road.
You wrote about it in the Globe yesterday. If you want to see former Patriots, just turn on your TV. They're everywhere.
Yeah, they are. It's for a lot of reasons, I think. Not that they were allowed to talk a whole heck of a lot when they were here, but, you know, there are exceptions to everything. But for the most part, Belichick really targeted, especially in the early part of the dynasty, guys who were team captains, who were leaders. And that tends to lead to, people being really good talkers and really good, really able to analyze and talk about football on television in short sound bites, and led to people like, Devin McCourty got this job before he was retired with NBC, which is one of the most high-profile broadcasting jobs you can get, because he had impressed NBC executives so much in meetings as a Patriots player, and then he went to that broadcast boot camp and blew him away there. These guys have all, even though they're the Patriots, things were locked down under Belichick, they're guys who really made a good impression on TV executives through the years. And so it's opened up a ton of opportunities for him. And, of course, you know, Brady's stepping in with Fox on the number one team next year. And really seems like Belichick's going to end up doing TV next year for a year.
And I think he'll be great at that. I still think when he did the NFL 100 stuff, he was great. It was a whole new Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's got an Emmy. I mean, it's impressive. And it's apparently a real one, unlike some of the ones ESPN.
Right.
Every time he's been on TV, he's been excellent. And it's the Army-Navy game this year at Gillette. Even going back to the Steelers-Seahawks Super Bowl, I think it was CBS that had it, but he was a guest analyst on that and went up to Telestrator and broke all kinds of things down. And people are like, oh, Belichick's really good at this. And I think in the right situation, not sitting there slapping back, with Boomer Esiason and Phil Simms or anything like that, but in the right situation where they can really play to his strengths and his knowledge about football, I think he'd be excellent.
Boy, I am loving this Celtics team. Watching that game yesterday, I'm getting excited when Jordan Walsh comes in and gets his first points on a dunk. And they may let me down before it's all said and done, but boy, they seem to be doing a lot of things the right way.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they've had some hiccups lately. I was covered the Lakers game, and I'd been in my car for about 10 minutes driving down from Wells when when they said AD and LeBron weren't playing, and you think, oh, good, they're going to win by 30. Unfortunately, that's what the Celtics thought, too, and
right.
Played like they had it in the bag. But that doesn't happen as often as it has in the past. They've won a lot of games this year that you feel like they would have let slip away. In previous years, a big factor of that is obviously Porzingis. I was down there last night. I actually went. My daughter's a big Marcus Smart fan, so we bought cheap tickets a couple of days ago, and went down, and that was a great crowd, and Celtics put it away like they were supposed to, rather than letting a team linger and get confidence like they did with the Lakers. So I count that as progress, too.
Yeah, and Holiday he is as advertised. He's just the consummate pro, and they've, as the season has gone on, I think they've learned how to use him in the best possible way.
Yeah, I want the ball in him and Holiday and White's hands. More than Tatum and Brown bringing it up, which is when the offense tends to stagnate. White makes the best decisions on the team. Holiday's pretty close. He gets a little too creative sometimes with the passes, and he'll have turnovers where he just loses the ball. You're like, what the heck happened there? The ball got away from him. But such a smart player, unselfish player, terrific teammate, and knocking down those corner threes as well as anybody in the league after a slow start. So, I don't know how we would feel about the Porzingis Smart deal had the Holiday deal not fallen kind of into their laps afterwards, where they get the upgrade on Marcus. But the way it's all worked out has been perfect. They're a much better team and much more equipped for the playoffs this year than they even have been in their pretty successful runs the last couple of years.
And it was great to see Smart get some love from the fans last night.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. And Celtics do such a good job of that stuff, the video tributes, and I thought it was a really great idea to give him the Heroes Among Us award. It's sometimes a nurse or somebody who saves somebody's life, in a car accident or something like that. And but they do it once in a while for an athlete who's been a big part of the community here. They did it for Devin McCourty a couple of days ago, actually, and that was a perfect way to honor Marcus, who his first day here after he was drafted by the Celtics went over to a pediatric cancer ward and hung out with some kids there. So fantastic way to get him another huge roaring round of applause that was well-deserved.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Chad, good talking with you as always. Hope the rest of your week goes well, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
All right. Take care, Rich.